And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. Good morning, friends. Can you think of some special time when you were in need and God answered prayer for you before you called or while you were yet speaking? That was quick service, wasn't it? How many times have we waited in some lineup for our turn at the post office window, or to have an order filled at some cafe, or to be checked out at a discount store, or such like? We're naturally inclined to want fast service these days. Waiting is sometimes harder to do than to just get up and go. But the scriptures tell us to wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So, dear ones, I'm so happy to be coming your way today with a report to tell you that God does hear and answer prayer. Let us not be weary in waiting on the Lord and give up and quit before the answer comes. Do you suppose some good folks get tired of waiting on the Lord and leave before the answer comes? Well, the Lord wants us to have patience. Nevertheless, he knows just when we're ready for our answer, and he is right on time. Remember the text, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I like that. Just to know that the Lord is there, that he's willing and ready to answer our prayers and help us out in the time of need. As we look back through the years, there are many, many times which God heard and answered prayer, and how happy we are for those times. It lets us know the Lord is nearby. And I personally want to say thank you to every one of you who have helped God answer our prayers in so many different ways. Thank you for praying for us and helping us with the broadcast through the years. We appreciate you. God bless and keep you, everyone. There was a report given by S.O. Susag, one of the early day pioneer ministers, how God answered prayer for him, that I'd like to give you some of this in his very own words. I quote, "For the glory of God, I wish to relate two very definite instances of answer to prayer." I want to give you one of these instances. Back to this quote again. Once while I was holding services 9 miles north of Kirkhoven, Minnesota, the meetings were very good, but I was under a very severe trial or test, and it seemed very difficult for me to learn the will of the Lord as to whether at the close of the meeting I should go home or to Grand Forks, North Dakota. I learned that my fare from Kirkhoven to Grand Forks would be $3.22. Then I went out in the grove, I think it was on Friday, and three times asked the Lord that on Sunday forenoon at the close of the services, he would put it in the mind of somebody to give me exactly $3.22 if he wanted me to go to Grand Forks. No one but the Lord knew about my needs. After I'd prayed the third time, the Spirit clearly witnessed to me that the Lord was going to answer my prayer by giving me the money asked for. On Sunday after the services, while I was shaking hands with the people, a brother put some money in my outside coat pocket. When I left the house, I walked out in the grove to the same spot where I had prayed and thanked God for $3.22 in my pocket. And when I counted the money, I found that it was the exact amount for which I had prayed. He not only supplied my car fare, but had in this way made known his will to me. Before I left the next morning, the brethren had given me more so that I had something to send to my family." End of quote by S.O. Susag. Well, thanks the Lord that he heard and answered prayer for that brother, and he's still hearing and answering prayer for us today. We're so glad that our God is not dead. He's not going on a journey. He's not asleep. His eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. There was another time. This goes back many, many years ago. But the account is given in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, there was this man named Hezekiah, and he was sick. Not sick just a little bit, he was really sick. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Sometime, you know, along with our prayers, there come some tears too. God knows and sees those tears, and he knows that they're sincere and coming from the depth of our heart. But back to this account. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. Well, I think that's enough of that account for us to know that God heard and answered prayer for Hezekiah. I don't know about him rolling back time, but he added some more to his life because he was right down to the end of it, and that was all as far as the outlook was concerned for Hezekiah, and it looked like there'd be no more. But the Lord just added some more right on to the end of his life, another 15 years. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Now, the Lord can add to your days, and besides all of that, he can make those days joyful and pleasant if you'll just serve the Lord. Oh, I love to see people serve the Lord, and it's so much better to start in their youth. The Scriptures tell us, in Ecclesiastes 12:1, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So, that's the best time to start. Grind while you're young. Don't wait till you get old. Now, if you do get old and you find you haven't been serving the Lord, then, you know, while there's life, there's hope. It's not too late to start. Start then. Better start then than not at all. I'd like to share with you, too, part of a speech that a young man I know I've made. Some years ago, there was this graduating class of about 70 high school seniors, and the valedictorian was chosen, and he was the one appointed to make this speech that night at the commencement exercises. And so, I think what he said was worth hearing, and I think it's worth hearing enough that I should repeat part of it to you again. I quote, We, the senior class of 1972, have come to the end of one of the most important and hopefully one of the most successful years of our lives. Together, we've shared many experiences which will long remain in our memories. We give our sincere thanks and gratitude to those who have helped us through our school years. Tonight, we stand at the verge of a great and challenging life. There is a great decision which faces each one of us and a great question. The great question is perhaps the greatest question which we shall ever be able to answer. That question tonight is, what course in life must we follow to assure ourselves of a true and happy, successful life? A good answer is one given by a professor to a young college freshman, and I quote, Oh, choose, young life, that course which you can be following a million years from now, and be following it joyfully and in highest profit. 'Tis the set of the sail that sends the ship safe to harbor. 'Tis the set of the soul that sends the youth triumphantly onward and upward. It is direction that determines destiny. End of quote. Well, I appreciate that. How unusual for a young man to make a speech like that, to realize that one should remember their Creator in the days of their youth before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when they'd say, I have no pleasure in them. It's important. But I tell you, the Lord can so speak to a young heart or to an old one, be that whichever is the case. and put a great desire and fervor in their souls to serve the Lord. And you can, by God's grace, be successful. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Isn't it wonderful to be made free by the blood of Christ? People are so dissatisfied. Sometimes they're dissatisfied with the government. They're dissatisfied with the family. They're dissatisfied with the officials. Sometimes they're employers. And they go on strike. Did you ever think what would happen if God should go on strike? How good it is that God above has never gone on strike because he was not treated fair in things he didn't like. If only once he had given up and said, That's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun. Cut off the heat supply, and to the moon give no more light, and run the oceans dry. Then just to make things really tough and put the pressure on, turn off the vital oxygen till every breath is gone. You know he would be justified if fairness was the game, for no one has been more abused or met with more disdain than God. And yet he carries on and supplies you and me with all the favors of his grace and everything for free. Men say they want a better deal, and so on strike they go. But what a deal we've given God, to whom all things we owe. Some care not for those they hurt to gain the things they like. But what a mess we'd all be in if God should go on strike. Our Father, we thank you this day for the blessings of the Lord. We thank you for salvation and the privilege of living for thee, whether young or old. We ask you to bless every listener to the broadcast and give them that need of their hearts which will satisfy their souls and give them happiness in serving the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, dear ones, for a few moments of your time. If we may be some help to you in a spiritual way, be sure to let us know. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy. Say God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.